and look at Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25. In Exodus chapter number 25, we'll look at one verse, and then I'll say this while you're finding Exodus 25. Of course, we'll have it on the screen there for you in just a minute. But in Exodus 25, we're going to talk about the tabernacle. Now, this is not my regular, normal Sunday morning kind of message, so you'll have to stay with me this morning. And so I'm glad that you're here, but I just want to share with you my heart. And so let's look at this in Exodus 25 and verse number 8. It's on the screen. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the what? After the pattern of the tabernacle. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Did you realize God wants to dwell amongst his people? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that you'd bless the reading of your word as you always do and you always have. Lord, I pray for the next few minutes as I try my best to get across what you put in, help me to get it out like you put it in. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. In the Old Testament, God met with his people through the ministry of an Old Testament tabernacle. This thing was probably, if you're any construction workers in here, this thing was probably 75 feet wide by 150 feet long. This type of structure was not a permanent structure, but it was made like tent material where they could pick it up and move it to their next destination. And wherever they went next, they would put this thing up. You have to understand, in the Old Testament, this is where God met with his people. So can I say this? Everything revolved around the presence of God. Everything in that Old Testament revolved around the presence of God. Now, here is another type picture of it. There was a piece of furniture right here. And actually, this is the door that you would go in. And then there's a piece of furniture right here. And then there's another one. And then there was a curtain. And then on the inside of this thing, there were three pieces of furniture. And then there was another curtain. And there's two pieces of furniture right back here. And so there were three compartments to this thing. There was the outer court, the inner court, and then the holy place. And so there was three divisions in this thing. Matter of fact, this is what it looked like at night when they would set that thing up at night. And all of the furniture in this sort of a tent, with inside of a tent. This is where they had church. Now, I know our church doesn't look like this, but in the Old Testament, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have carpet, they didn't have a pulpit, they didn't have a piano, but they had God. And I'll be honest, folks, our churches today, they have all the nice buildings, they have all the nice furniture, but ladies and gentlemen, God is not in 100 miles of a lot of churches. I want to be where God is. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I had rather be where God is. Yes, we come into this place and we enjoy singing the songs. We enjoy the songs, the old songs that we do. We enjoy that. But I enjoyed last Sunday. You remember, there is a difference when God just sort of comes in the room. You know the difference. You know what the feeling is, and we don't go by feeling, but it sure is good to feel something every now and then. And some people say, well, I tell you, I don't like all that emotion in churches. What about at the ball game? There's a lot of emotion at the ball games. And so in churches, they people, I don't like all of that emotion. Well, just picture in your mind, Jesus Christ, bases are loaded. Jesus Christ is up to bat. They got a fastball coming down the center. And Jesus Christ nails that thing, goes over the fence, hits a grand slam. And everybody gets to run home. Now, I didn't get the response that I was really looking for right there. Y'all wasn't acting like y'all was at the ball game. But I'll be honest, folks, I had rather be, I want to be where God's people are. I want to be where God's presence is. I want to feel his presence. I want to be in his presence. And I want to be in a place to where God feels at home at his own house. And then so in this Old Testament tabernacle setup, there were these pieces of furniture. Let me just go through them real quick if I can. This first piece of furniture is what they called a brazen altar. Brazen altar, when you came in that first door, there was only one door in this place. There was only one way in. There wasn't a Baptist way in, a Methodist way in, a Presbyterian way in, a Pentecostal way in, a Church of God way in, a Assembly of God way in. There was only one way in. No matter what you were, where you come from, there wasn't but one way in. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10. And when you came into this place, the first piece of furniture was like a barbecue pit. This thing was a 5x5 great barbecue pit. It's actually, now that picture looks like gold, but it's actually made of brass. A picture of the judgment of sin. Something had to die right here. And so what the Old Testament people would do, they would bring a sacrifice. They would bring a bull, a sheep, a lamb, whatever, and they would sacrifice that thing on that altar before they could go any further. And then the next piece of furniture was a brazen laver. This is all in the outer court. And that brazen laver was obviously brass, judgment, and so it was like a looking glass. You look down into this brazen laver. And if you have water in there and the water's moving or the water's not moving, it's real still, you can see your reflection. So what they would do, they would have a sacrifice on that brazen altar, and then would come the brazen laver, and they would wash their hands. They would get clean. We're going somewhere. They wanted to get where God was. God is in that Holy of Holies place. But before you can get back there to where God is, there's some stuff. You've got to come through the door. You got to bring a sacrifice with you. You say, well, I didn't bring a sacrifice today. If you're saved, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I brought one with me. We're not going to kill him today. They already did that 2,000 years ago on the cross, and I brought him here with me today. I came through the one door, I brought a sacrifice, but you know what? A lot of people, you say, that looking glass, that's what they would do. They look down there and wash their hands. Sometimes their feet would be dirty. They wash their feet and their face, and they'd get clean. And then there was a curtain. Everybody say curtain. And then on the other side of that curtain was three pieces of furniture. And on the inside, when you go in that thing, on the right-hand side, there was a table of showbread. And on that table of showbread was 12 little loaves, cakes of bread. Little cakes of bread that, two rows of six. 66. Y'all not getting it. There was a row of six and a row of six, 12 cakes of unleavened bread, two rows, 66. And it was bread, fresh bread, if you would. And that thing, I'll be honest, that thing, let me find that picture of it right here if I can. That thing, a table of showbread. Now that thing was overlaid with gold. It had those 66, and they would come in there, and that bread was fresh every morning. Wasn't stale bread, didn't have mold on it. It was fresh. They did it fresh every day. And then on the other side of that thing, this is what a lot of people are familiar with, the golden lampstand. The only light in the whole place came from this thing. They didn't have electricity. It was dark in there, and that thing had to stay lit all the time. And then that next piece of furniture was called an altar of incense. An altar of incense, what they would do, they'd get hot burning coals off of the altar, brazen altar, and they would bring it in. And you ladies are familiar with this. It's like a potpourri stand. And that thing would have incense on it. and they would put those incense on top of those hot burning coals, and it send up a smoke unto God. And God would say, that's a sweet smell. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get where God is. They're trying to get where God is, and that's where we want to be. We want to be where God is, right? Now, I know what some of you think. Some of you think, man, all this stuff's Old Testament. Oh, just hang on, hang on. Then they had a curtain, and on the inside of that curtain, a four-inch thick curtain, on the inside of that, here's two pieces of fur. I know it looks like one, but it's two. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. That box on underneath was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside that Ark of the Covenant, they had, y'all remember the story of when Moses broke those Ten Commandments? He come down there, he broke them Ten Commandments. The broken Ten Commandments is in there. A bowl of manna that God fed the nation of Israel with in the wilderness. A bowl of manna. And Moses' rod, which he gave to Aaron, Aaron's rod, and that thing, just a stick, and started sprouting life on the end of it. That thing's in there. And on top of it is the second piece, and that's the mercy seat. The mercy seat sat on top of that thing. And one time a year, this guy right here would call, they would call the high priest. And this high priest would go in there. Y'all remember that blood that they sacrificed that animal on that first piece of furniture? He'd bring that blood. One time a year, 4-inch thick curtain, he'd go in that thing and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, and God would come into that room and fill that room. Because God says, when I see the blood. So when the blood was applied to the mercy seat, now you're saying, what in the world has that got to do with me? Well, remember, what's in that box? Broken Ten Commandments. Everybody in here has broken them, every one of them. A bowl of manna. Hey, that represents our past. Everybody's got one, right? Now, don't be playing spiritual with me. I know we're in church, but let's all be honest. Everybody's got one. And it haunts us. So you got broken Ten Commandments, you got a bowl of manna, and you got Aaron's rod that budded, and then there's a mercy seat on top of that. Y'all get in the picture, watch. In the box is my past. The mercy seat is between me and God. Come in the room. And what's between me and God is the blood on the mercy seat. And when God comes into the room, he fills that room with his presence, and that's how God met with his people in the Old Testament. And everybody in here is going, oh, preacher, that was wonderful, wonderful. Is the sermon over? Oh, no. That's just an introduction. We ain't got the New Testament yet. You got to get to the New Testament. What happens in the New Testament? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you what this happens. Matthew 27, that's what it says. Matthew 27, Jesus hanging on the cross. He's fixing to die for the sins of the whole world. You ready? Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That means he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent. That means it tore. Tore in two, tore in twain from the top to the bottom. The earthquake and the rocks rent. Let me just interpret what that means real quick. That old, y'all remember that guy? This guy right here? He could only go in there one time a year. If he went in there any other time, he'd be killed. One time a year, he'd get to go in there and sprinkle that blood on the door of the mercy seat. 4 inches thick, a curtain. Said, stay out. Keep out. But when Jesus died on the cross, that thing split from top to bottom and laid open. What's that mean? That means we get to go in anytime we get ready. That means you don't have to wait one time a year. That means you get to go in any time you get ready. Can go into the presence of God and meet with God. But I'm going somewhere. We all want to be in that spot, right? We all want to meet with God, don't we? But there's some stuff we got to do before we meet with God. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, all this Old Testament. Oh, hang on. Y'all know I do my homework better than that, don't you? Hey, there's a picture of one of them right there. He's trying to get, like, 4-inch, that mercy seat, Ark of the Covenant over there. And he can only go in there one time a year. But when Jesus died, that curtain laid open, man, and I'm talking about. Now, here's something I want to show you real quick. Real quick. Do you notice there's no place to sit down in that tabernacle? The priest, his job was never done. He did this every day, except going at the place. He's only one time a year. But all this other stuff he did every year, or every day, rather. Every day, he had to make sure that lampstand didn't go out, make sure there's plenty of oil in it so it didn't go out. He had to make sure that bread was fresh every day. He had to make sure those sacrifices were ready, one in the morning, one in the evening, 9 a.m., 3 p.m., all that stuff. Had to make sure all that stuff was ready. Every day, couldn't sit down. But when Jesus died on the cross, let me just tell you what the Bible says. Ready? And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice on the cross for our sins, for, can y'all say forever? What'd he do after that? I'm done. That's why he said, it is finished on the cross. Amen. He said, I'm only doing this one time. Amen. And he sat down on the right hand of God. Now, I know what you're saying. I still know what you're thinking. That's all Old Testament. Well, that was New Testament. But watch this. We don't have an Old Testament tabernacle anymore, do we? Don't have one. We don't call this a tabernacle or anything like that. This is our church building. But let me show you something, what that Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Ready? Know ye not? Paul, let me translate. Let me put that in Millsville for you. Don't y'all know? Don't y'all know that ye are the... That's what it said, ain't it? It said that in the New Testament. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that means everything I just told y'all about the Old Testament tabernacle is now been moved after Jesus died on the cross. Now it's been moved into here. It's no longer outwardly, now it's inwardly. Oh, yeah. Let me see if I got another verse on here right here before I have a fit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not? Don't y'all know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Which you have of God, and you're not your own. Because why? I've been bought with a price. Now, all right, you ready? Right now, let's do a time check. It is 5 till 11. 5 to 11. That was all introduction. Introduction is real long. The message is real short. Y'all want to get to where God is, don't you? Wouldn't y'all want to? Our church. Look, let me just say this. I want every seat filled. I'd love to see every seat filled. But more than that, I'd rather we have what we got this morning and have God sat down in here, then have every seat filled. Because you can have a church of 5,000 and it be dead as last year's bird's nest. Numbers don't mean presence of God. I've been in some of them old, just in white, little white wooden churches, those big steeple on the building about to look like it's fall down, and you go in there and God's been in there. Now, remember I told you, outer court, inner court, holy, holies. Well, did you know that your body, soul, and spirit? Body, that's the outer court. My inner court, that's my soul. And where God dwells is the spirit. Amen. See, you thought I was way off the sermon. Oh, I ain't off the sermon. So that thing right there, that tabernacle, is no longer in existence right now. That's Old Testament, but now that thing lives in here. So that means, here's my sermon. That means if I want to get back there where God is, if I want to get back there where God is, I got to come through the door, the one and only door. I got to bring a sacrifice when I come, Jesus Christ the righteous. They offered a sacrifice right there, 9 a.m., the morning sacrifice, and the evening sacrifice was 3 p.m. Did y'all realize this? Ain't got time to tell y'all this. But look, Jesus, they crucified Jesus at 9 a.m. in the morning. He died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. To fulfill that right there. Y'all with me? And then, if I want to get to where God is, I got to come to that laver right there. I got to come to that laver, and I got to look. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto the word of God. You know what you got to do every day? You better look in the mirror. Somebody needs to tell them people at Walmart, look in the mirror before you get out. Well, I'm looking at saved people that needs to look in the mirror every day and see if your hands need washing, if your face needs washing, if your feet. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to get saved every day, but I do need to wash my feet every day. Why? Because I'm out in the world. Some of you have to work out in the world. And then you go into that one curtain, and then you find that thing, ladies and gentlemen, after that laver, guess what? That bread. That bread, what is that? There it is. Now, I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just trying to get your attention. When's the last time we picked up the bread and ate some? When's the last time we had some fresh bread? You say, well, preacher, I know John 3:6. Look, you learned that in Sunday school. Fresh bread. Every morning. We're trying to meet with God, right? You can't meet with him without eating from the bread. And then guess what? You can't get to where God is unless you get some light to shine on the bread. That guy that goes in there, it's dark. If that lamp ain't on, he don't even know where the bread is unless the light gets turned on. He don't even know where the bread is if the light ain't on. What would y'all think if I got the vacuum out and I started pushing that thing around? Pushing it around. And you'd come in this building and you'd say, Brother Jeremy, you're not doing any good. I said, well, why? I'm going through the motions. Brother Jeremy, you don't even have it plugged up to the wall. You don't have any power. You're going through the little three-point outline and a tear-jerking illustration and all of this, but you ain't got no power. You see, that first piece of furniture is the penalty. That laver is your purification. Then you go in and you got that table of showbread. That's my provision. And now I need some power. I need some power to get in there where God is. And then that next piece of furniture is an altar of incense. That's my prayer. I got my penalty. I got my purification. I got my provision. That's the bread. I got my power. And now I got to get my prayer. I'm not talking about the little prayer. Lord, lay me down to sleep. Pray me, Lord, so to keep, you know, bless all, you know, everybody and the pygmies in New Guinea and all of that. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a prayer that's connected. Where did they get the coals for that thing? They got it off of the altar. It's got to be connected to the cross. Now let me just, can I meddle just a little bit? A lot of people. Oh Lord, boy, Lord, I need you to answer this prayer. Well, how many of these steps you've been through? You can't just bebop in, chewing your, popping your bubble gum and say, Lord, I demand you to answer my prayer. You might want to get some of these steps. If you want to get to where God is. Now, I was expecting more amens than what I'm getting. But if you want to get where God is, you got to do what it takes to get to where God's at. You can't get to where God is watching Jerry Springer. You can't get to where God is watching as the world burns. As the world turns. Whatever it is. At some point, if we want to get to where God is, we have to do what God says to get to where He is. That's the inner court right there. Most Christians stay in the outer court. They're saved. They got a sacrifice. But they don't want to go any further. They won't stay in the outer court. So here's my sermon. It's real. Sermon's like 3 minutes long. Are you living in the outer court? Are you in the inner court? Are you in that holy of holies where God's at? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell y'all. I'm in there. I've been in there a couple times, and I've been in services where you get in there. But I don't stay in there. I want to. Can I be honest with my church? I want to. They ain't always there. You say, what happens? Somebody pulls out in front of me and I just lose the whole thing. But I have been back there before. And there ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. Once you get back there where God is, let me just say this. That altar of incense, is that what we're talking about? Yeah, altar of incense. And I'm closing, so y'all hang on. When I grew up, my brother and sisters, they're going to laugh when I say this, but this is true. We burnt wood. I don't know how many years there my younger years. I mean, I thought my name was Get Wood till I was 15. Every morning, that fire would go out, and Daddy said, we got to get some wood. Get wood! Boy, get up, get wood! I thought that was my name. Anyway. We get that wood, and you stoke that fire. And if you went into town, listen to me, if you went into town, somebody'd say, y'all burn wood at your house, don't you? Yeah. People know the difference in electric heat and wood stove heat. Amen. When you walk into churches, you ought to know the difference in electric heat and wood heat. Because if you've been in there where God, you can smell it on you. Church, here's my message. I just want to get in there where God's at. I want our church to get in there where God's at. I want every seat filled. Listen to me. I want every seat filled. I want to get in there where God's at. And our church to get in there where God's at. No matter how many people's in the seat. I'm finishing. I don't even know if I can tell this story, but I'm going to try my best. Growing up in a preacher's home, you know, I guess as a kid, I don't know, you know, my dad, of course, I thought he was the best preacher in the world. Probably everybody didn't agree with that, but I did. And I stole a lot of sermons from him. Stole a lot of illustrations from him. But I remember this with both hands up. A lot of stuff I tell, I juice it up to make it funny. I say this with both hands up. I get up in the middle of the night as a 10-year-old boy, go to the bathroom. I look down the hallway, and where my mom lives right now is where the house I grew up in, and they had a one-car garage that they had enclosed. And that was Daddy's office. So it was like, it was enclosed, had, you know, everything was, and it was his office. I get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I hear somebody talking. I say, what's the light doing? Well, everybody should be in bed at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Especially on an early, early Sunday morning. It's when it really took place. And I'd ease next in down the hallway. I'd hear somebody talking. And I look in that office. And there was a man down like this. I said, what is he doing? What's that man doing? He's trying to get in there where God is. Amen. Especially before he had to go preach to his church. Trinity Baptist Church. While me and mama's back there sleeping. Which is nothing wrong with. Nothing wrong with sleeping. But he had a job to do. And his church depended upon him getting in there where God's at. He'd be talking. I said, man, who is he talking to? He'd be down on the floor. God, I need you. I need something to give these people here in a little bit, a few hours. There's nothing like getting in there where God's at. It'll change your home. It'll change your church. It'll change where you work. It'll change your kids if they ever see a desire for you to get in there where God's at. Nothing like it. I just won't get in there where God's at. Wouldn't you want to get in there where God's at? That's my desire. I love to joke, love to have fun better than anybody. But you think about all these pieces of furniture. I'm closing. I know I said that a while ago. Y'all see all them pieces of furniture? Get up in the morning. God, I pray right now, I sure do thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, you shed your blood so I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Lord, I sure do thank you. God, I know right now that Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I ask you to wash me right now. Make me have clean hands, clean feet. Lord, right now, I just want to open this Bible. I want you to give me something from your word like you've never done it before. God, I want you to shine the light on that word and illuminate it by the sweet Holy Spirit that I may see. And God, I pray that everything I do will be a sweet smelling savor into the nostrils of God as I send up a prayer. Lord, I intercede for so-and-so. And Lord, I pray for so-and-so. And God, I lift it up right now. And Lord, hey, it won't be just a minute. And you're going to be in there where God's at. Lord, I pray right now. God, I thank you. These folks have been good listeners. That wasn't even a Sunday morning message. But Lord, that's what you give me. I want to be in there where God's at. I want to be in there where you're at. I want you to feel like, God, that you can come into this place anytime you get ready and meet with your people. God bless now in Jesus' name. Will you stand in the stand all over your feet on the building? Who'll be first to come? Say, I sure want to get where God's at. Anybody? Say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus. I hope and pray that I've introduced you to him today. He'll be a good sacrifice. Anybody else need to come? I just want to get where he's at. I want to get where he's at. Preacher, I don't know the Lord. He came to this world to die for you, to die for the sins of the whole world. And he died just for you. One day I realized I was lost and I was a sinner. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. And that was when I was 10 years old. Best decision I ever made. I hadn't always been in there where God's at. But I've been in there a few times. Ain't nothing like it.